is the day which the Lord has made. We will. That was full, but that wasn't exciting enough. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Yeah, I like that. Rejoice. Yeah, there we go. All right. Rejoice and be glad in it. Well, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And I love those different names. And the Bible comes up with many different names for Jesus Christ. But he says right here, "For unto us a child is born." Talking about God sending down his son who will become flesh. And when he sends that baby, his name will be called Wonderful. Now here at Prayer of Faith in the last year, we've had a little baby explosion, if you will. A little mini explosion of babies. And that is beautiful, and that's great. And I'm sure all you parents and grandparents and the likes say, "Oh my gosh, this child is wonderful." Yeah, there's one right there. She says, "Hey, look at me." And he is wonderful. But the Bible says his name will be called, not that we say he's a wonderful child, but his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Could you imagine naming your children Mighty God? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I love the titles that they give Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read about the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're going to read about the birth of God's Son. I've said before, as we tell stories of our family and of our children and of our parents, over time those stories will diminish. And a few generations later, they'll die off. The stories will, as the people will. But this story about somebody so special, they're still talking about his birth today. I assure you, this many years later, no one will be talking about the birth of Adam Dilley. Nobody. But this child was different. And this child was worthy of telling for hundreds and thousands of years. Now, in case you didn't know, every one of us here today was a child at one time. And although we'd like people to speak about us and talk about us, and go on and on about us, and that's okay. As I said, the stories will die off, but not this one. You see, this one was special. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered. Everyone went to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." Now we missed a part already where the angels came to her and said, "You're going to have this child." And came to other people and said, "This child is going to be born." And it says in verse 6, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Man, the words every mother wants to hear. The day has come for this child to be delivered. Some ready months sooner than is the actual time. Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, could you imagine, for those of us that have our children born at home or in a birthing center, at a specific place. Could you imagine going to the hospital? I said, I'm sorry. We just don't have any rooms for you to give birth in. We've got a shed out back that we keep our mowers and stuff in. Do you think you and your husband would be okay there? Yeah, but you see, this child that I'm carrying is special. You know, they said he's going to be the Prince of Peace. And his name is Wonderful. Can you just double check and see if you have another room? Yeah, we're full. We don't. We've got the mowing shed you can have. We'll take it. Now, there were in the same country in verse 8, shepherds living out in the field. And these shepherds are keeping watch over their flock. And I think about, Jan did a study on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I picture these shepherds out there, tending their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Not just a little freaked out, but they were greatly afraid. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm telling you today, it's for all people. None of you, and none of you, and none of you are left out of that promise. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And that great joy is for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has been made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But listen to verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Now, I don't know about each and every one of your personal experience with the first time you encountered God. But I'm thinking, did you go back? Did you go back in time, glorifying and praising God for all the things that you had heard, you had seen, and that were told to you? And I think as a church body, God says, hey, you're to go out and be my witness. And just like the shepherds, when you have received the gift of God, we need to glorify Him, praise Him for all the things that you've heard and seen and was told to you. Now it said, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And I love in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Church, we are to arise, shine, for the the light has come. The light has come into this dark, dark world. We know from looking at these things and reading these things that the birth of Jesus Christ shed light in a few areas. Number one, he shed light on darkness. He was light. He brought light into a dark world. When we read this Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for the light has come." Isaiah was talking, and he often prophesied about darkness and light. But he was talking to Zion. And he said, these people were the recipient of God's light. They received his light, but not only that, they also were to be the reflection of his light. Oh, that means that when we receive the light, we also are a reflection of his light. I saw a saying a while back that said, you never know how much light is inside of you until you have to shine the light for someone else and be the light for them. Listen, some of us may think our light is just a little flicker. And I'm looking mostly towards our teens, some of our younger people out there. But you guys may think that your light is but a little flicker. Never underestimate the value of that. Those of you that have gone camping and had that match that's barely flickering, and you stick it to something and it lights the fire, how thankful are you for that little flicker that was just enough to light a fire and ignite a fire? Now, to the rest of us older folks, our experience, our lack thereof, never underestimate the value of the light that is within you. It does not matter what you've been through. It does not matter what you're going through. If the light is inside of you, it is still there. His light is inside of you, and you are also the reflection of his light. Jesus' birth was to bring light into a dark world. Jesus' birth was to bring peace here on earth. And it says, as we read in Luke, it said that peace is in him. Peace is in him. We look for peace in so many other things, in so many other areas, in programs, in people, in places. And I think that you can find peace in various places. And I think there are people that can bring you closer to peace than those that push you further from it. But his word says, you will have peace in me. And he came to bring love to all people. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He reminded them, "I already told you guys, in me you will have peace. You don't need to look for it in these other places, because you'll find it in me. When you come to me, you will find peace. You will find rest that sleep can't give you. You will find peace in me that meditation can't give you." And then love. He wants us to love other people. But how does he want us to do that? The same way that we love ourselves, right? Therein lies the problem for some of us. Because we've struggled to love ourselves. Does this one down here say hope on it? Hope. Remember one of you girls was going to carry that around at high school? No, you weren't going to carry it, but I said, could you imagine carrying that around for show and tell? What's that? Let me tell you about the hope that is within me. And the hope that you have is Jesus Christ came to this world to show you love. And sometimes love that nobody else will show you. Doesn't matter what any of you have been through. Again, it doesn't matter what you're going through. He says, guess what? I love you where you're at. Now, but my desire is that you get better and you grow when you come to me. You will have a desire to grow and increase in that love. And then again, as you are the recipient of His love, that you are also the reflection of His love. Driving down the road, the reflection of His love is not to gesture the person that just cut you off. Not to gesture the person that wouldn't let you in. I've told the story before. I'm not proud of it, but that used to be me. Until one day I was extending a gesture, not of peace, and I looked over and the person had no idea I was doing it. And God said, that doesn't glorify me. That doesn't honor me. That doesn't reflect my love. Take your cross off. Take your fish bumper sticker off, whatever. Take your pastor symbols off your car if you don't mind, Mr. Dilly. Because that stuff doesn't glorify me and it doesn't honor me. If we truly want to grow in His love, we will allow Him to show us those areas. We will admit those areas that we struggle in. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, and above all things have fervent love for one another. Why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. I was going to leave it at that, but I just glanced down and this caught me, so I'm going to read it anyway. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That love that covers a multitude of sins, it doesn't say, here's a religious carpet that will sweep those sins under. But it says, hey, we won't take offense to these things. We won't get up in arms every time somebody frustrates us. We will allow these things to pass because God's love said it covers a multitude of sins. Those are the things that annoy us and irritate us. It says when you have love for these people, you'll overlook those. These gifts that He brings, the gift of light, the gift of peace, the gift of love, as we look down at these banners, it says hope and peace and joy and love. And in His word He says He wants us to have all of these things. But He wants us to have it in abundance. Now, I think whether we have these in abundance or not, it really is up to us a lot of times. We restrict Him. We don't recognize it. We've received it, but we fail to reflect it. And so we feel like we've fallen short. But you see, these are the gifts. These are the gifts that He has given us. This isn't for a commercial just at Christmas time. Fourth quarter, let's put out the hope, love, joy, and peace gift. And let's sell a bunch of it in the fourth quarter. Earnings will be up and through the roof. This gift is good year round. It provides, number one, the light that He gives us. Instant and continuous light. Once it's accepted and used correctly, of course. You see, when He makes these promises, they don't go away. They aren't false. My Lord, my son and I were watching TV last night. In came one of those things, a little drill that inflates your tires. I said, well, I can't imagine that works well. Let's just Google this thing up. No. Said it may inflate an air mattress, but it's not going to inflate your car tire. We used it 30 seconds into it. It started smoking and quit and never started back up. I ordered the deluxe model. They sent me the one that wasn't deluxe. I've never got any parts. No one's ever called me back. Oh, I can't get a refund through Amazon. They won't do anything for me. Nobody returns my calls. And I know at times we think when we reach out to God, we think, God, man, I'm calling You about this. But I don't feel I've heard back. But I assure you, His promise is complete. And it is whole. And it is good. So the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, provides light. Instant and constant light. So long as we use it properly. The peace that He promises us also. The peace we find in Him. That's there. The problem is we're looking for peace in other people, other places, other organizations, other hobbies, other activities. And we try and find peace there. He says, it's not out there. The peace is in Me, Jesus Christ. And then the love. We talked last year in February about God's love. And that love is unending, and it's constant, and it's forgiving. Remember I said, in our love, we'll find fault in it. Because my love for you will fail. But the love that Jesus Christ has for you will not fail. It will not end. It will not go away. My forgiveness for you may be available today, but I may not have it available for you tomorrow. But His love is available constantly. In this holiday season, we have so much to be thankful for. But again, we shouldn't talk about the gift just one time a year. We should be taking it out, utilizing it, showing other people our gift throughout the year. Could you imagine getting a brand new outfit for Christmas and wearing it at Christmas and then pulling it out next Christmas? I'm not talking about the ugly sweater gifts. I'm talking about the ugly Christmas sweater gift. Let me clarify. Someone's going, I got some ugly sweaters, but they weren't Christmas. But those gifts, can you imagine just pulling those out at Christmas time? He says, no, use this year round. Tell other people about it year-round. Show other people about it. Or show them how it's used. So much to be thankful for. So much to do. People that we need to reflect the love of Christ and the light of Christ to in our world, in our school, in our family, in our homes, in our workplaces. Peace to discover and uncover. People to love. Now listen carefully to me, church. people to forgive. There are people in our lives that we have failed to forgive yet. Still. And I don't want to hear how long we've been in church. That doesn't matter. Because if you still haven't forgiven someone, then it doesn't matter how long you've been here. It didn't take yet. And I get that that may be a process for some people and some situations and issues. But that gift that was born in a manger, the room that wasn't there in the hospital, in the inn, the mowing shed where that Savior was born. And when that Savior, when that baby matured and grew, and He hung on a cross like that, and went willingly, even though He could get out of it, did it so that you would forgive other people just like He forgave you and me. And to not forgive people in our lives is stubbornness. And it's ungodly and it's unbiblical. And we can't move on and we can't mature as a church until we do that and work through those processes. And you may think, I don't know how to get to that point. Then come talk to me, Pastor Eric. Talk to one of us and say, I need to start this process. Because by the way, I've been sitting on this thing for 20 years and it hasn't gone away and it's killing me. Doesn't matter so-and-so's dead. They're gone. It matters. If you still carry unforgiveness in your heart, then it matters. And the gift of Jesus Christ was so that you could have that forgiveness. And thus the peace and the rest and the freedom. Amen? I want to close the message today with us just thinking back on the last year. There are those traveling right now. There are those that are sick right now. There are those deployed right now. And I want us to take just a minute to remember those people. And there's loved ones we've lost over the last year. And I want to take just a minute, if we could bow our heads and pray, and just remember those people that are traveling, those people that are no longer with us, those people that are ill, in our prayers. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are a grateful and thankful people. Lord, at times we are stubborn people as well, though. I ask this holiday season, Lord, that You would remind us of growth in You, love towards one another, and working on the light that we have inside of us. Lord, I ask You to be with those traveling right now, that You would give them safety and protect them as they travel. Lord, for those that are sick and facing health issues, Lord, that You would be with them, that You would comfort them, give them healing, give them peace. Lord, for those that we've lost this year, both extended families and our prayer of faith members, Lord, that You would lift up their families. Lord, for our church members, that we would remember Jerry nicely and her family, Dorothy Caldwell and her family, Paul Houck and his family, and Griffin Day Sr. and his family. Lord, for those that are here today that have lost loved ones, this past year, that you would remember them and lift them up as well. That you would comfort them in this time. But Lord, that in this time, you would remind us all that your Son was born to give us light. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord, that we find peace in you, and that we celebrate the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.